Okay, so last time we learned Sefer HaKuzrei, we had a chance to begin Os Yutes, in which he raises this great question of what's Tefillah B'Tzibur all about? Why? Why not daven by yourself? And you remember he had said, at the top of page 190, that the Sefer HaKuzrei had focused on two things that you accomplished. Besides what guys have pointed out, you daven with a tzibur of people who care about davening, that can be very practically very inspiring. They can inspire me on davening. Okay, well, let's say I find it inspiring to have peace and quiet and sit in my study and be misboning and be responsible myself. You'll remember that the Sefer Kuzra is called Tfilas Hatzibur and Tfilas Bitzibur. Tfilas Hatzibur, the sense of a communally focused davening. It's more about the content, what you daven, and even the grammar. Yeah, even when you're asking for personal requests, you're asking for heal us, not heal me. Support us. Not support me. Save us. And that to develop a mindfulness for the tzarachim of others and to daven for one's own tzarachim in the context of tzarachim of others, it's certainly not to daven for one's own tzarachim in a way that's going to cause injury to others. That was number one. Tfilas ha-tzibur. And then the other point was tfilah b'tzibur. Remember the Sefer HaKuzrei's idea of divine superscoring. If I daven by myself, so then my tefillah stands by itself. The parts where I was mechabel well, Baruch Hashem. The parts where I was, my mind was elsewhere, there's no fix for that. But if I daven with other people, and suddenly say, particularly if I daven with a minion, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chazdu v'tuva will weave one group tefillah out of all of our davenings and will take the best parts. The best parts of your davening, best parts of your Shmoneh Esrei, best parts of his Shmoneh Esrei, best parts of my Shmoneh Esrei, and together we'll have a much better Shmoneh Esrei than any one of us could have accomplished on our own. And now he talks about the next step. So where does this take us? You're in the middle of the first paragraph, right over here, page 190, 191. He says, nowhere in Kaddish Baruch Hu, a chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and one again that you don't find us at the other mitzvos, that Kadosh Baruch Hu will, instead of looking at each tefillah individually, will say, you as a group are offering a group tefillah, and together taking the best parts of each one, this is a nice tefillah. Kavana zaka, with clear kavana. And then where does that go? The tachola bracha ala kol. He says, not just a question of you've been kind of the mitzvah of tefillah in a better way than any one of us could have done individually. In terms of the impact of tefillah, what sort of bracha will bring down from Shemayim? It's sechol ha-bracha lakol. Kodesh Baruch will also respond to us as a tzibur. Right? It sounds like if I daven, it sounds like maybe almost like 23. If I daven individually, Kodesh Baruch will not only will my tefillah be assessed and evaluated on its own merits and demerits, but also Kodesh Baruch will give back to me as an individual with only my own sources. If I daven as part of the tzibur, the chol ha-bracha will come. So the bracha from Shemayim will be chal. Those who, not to say in the lomdish ha-shprachi sense of a chalais, but it's the same word. The tachol ha-bracha will come. Bracha will be chal on the group. Then each individual will get his piece of this communal bracha from Shemayim. I think it's a fascinating metaphor. He says, it's coming tonight. Imagine rain. You have to understand that the bracha from Shemayim is operates, spiritual bracha from Shemayim, operates in an analogous way, in a similar way to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends physical bracha, literally. Bracha comes down from the sky in the form of rain. It usually doesn't fall on individual people's backyards. If this zone, this area, this land, this nation deserves it, it could be that this community as a whole deserves rain. This community as a whole deserves it again. Remember, if you're a farmer, rain equals financial success. Rain is what we would, in our terminology, we think about making sales, we think about adding accounts, or adding clients. And doing deals, or whatever, doing procedures, whatever field you're in, So again, to a farmer, the equivalent of adding accounts or adding deals or you know, making new contacts, networking, is the rain coming down. Well, not only the quantity that you want, the time that you need. So the rain is going to come down, the hatzlacha will come down from Shemayim, literally, hatzlacha will come down from Shemayim. It may be a time that the majority of people in this area deserve it. And I may get, even though personally I don't deserve it. Uvehibuch is that. And he says, it could cut both ways. It's also conceivable that I'm a tzaddik in a sea of non-tzaddikim, and I'm the one field in the area that really, I'm the one landowner, farmer in the area that deserves bracha. Overall, this area does not deserve bracha. So how does that work? It says, Epshish yichol ba'yechidim ha'yiruim lo. Now, it could be there's an area that overall, this area does not deserve bracha. Because the rain's not going to fall. It won't fall in such generous amounts. It won't fall in such an ideal time. Ideal time from an agricultural perspective. I'm familiar with the comment that Chazal Rashi quotes, right, the Rashi Al-Tara quotes. Gishmei Bracha doesn't mean that when they talk about a rain of Bracha, so the Gemara Tanis talks about Chanei Ma'agel, a rain of Bracha has to do with quantity. Not too little and not too much. It's a famous story, he draws a circle and he asks for a Gishmei Bracha, not torrential rain that's going to wipe out fields, and not a little tiny drop that's not really going to help. Gishmei Bracha means the right amount. The Gishmei Bracha also means in a way that takes care of all of our needs. The famous Rashi says, the one Gishmei Bracha is the rain falls at night. Rain falls overnight, particularly at night, like Friday night, people aren't out. Yes, they didn't go out. The world walks so far for Shalom Zachars in the days of Chazal. So, Rashi says that the rain could fall in the middle of the afternoon, the rain could fall in the middle of the night. It's the same from an agricultural perspective, it's all the same. But in terms of people's experience, the rain falls in the middle of the night, you get the pluses, the field gets the moisture without the negatives. No one gets inconvenienced by the rain. By the time the morning comes, the rain is dried up. And the rain falls in the middle of the afternoon, it's going to water the fields, but there'll be costs. You can't get out. Muddy day. So the Gishmei Bracha both gain what you need and also sort of the collateral pieces. How does that impact me in secondary ways? So he says that the Bracha, so if the robe deserves a Bracha, the Bracha will come. And I may get it even if I personally didn't really deserve it. If the robe doesn't deserve the Bracha, so what's going to happen? So the Bracha is not going to send the rain, or at least not the rain in an ideal fashion. Maybe the rain will come in an awkward time, maybe the rain will come in an amount that's not ideal, or a time in the season that's not ideal. So then what's going to happen to me? There may be people, individual people in this area who do deserve to get a sort of ideal bracha. We might be losing out. Maybe you really do deserve more than your neighbors do. Because Rome, your neighbors don't deserve that sort of ideal rain, that sort of ideal hatzlacha. Again, it could be economy, the farming economies are impacted by global factors like rain, or actually regional factors like rain. Modern economies, non-farming economies are also impacted, obviously. And this is the ABCs. There could be all sorts of national factors that impact the economy of a country, or the economy of a region that's going to impact everybody. Right? There's an upswing in tourism to this area that raises all the boats. The downswing in tourism, right? Currencies fluctuate. All sorts of factors can impact the whole economically impact the whole region, whether you're in farming or any other profession. So what's going to be? There could be a change in the regulatory regime. More regulation, less regulation in your industry. Easier to make money as a doctor, harder to make money as a doctor. Easier to make money as a small business owner, harder to make money as a small business owner. Tax codes change. That's going to impact the whole industry. That's going to impact the whole region. So Zachar is probably making decisions behind the scenes that speak to, overall, the group that's being impacted by this, what do they deserve? But what's going to happen? Most people in this region don't deserve bracha. Most people in this region, industry, don't deserve bracha. But there are individuals who do. So isn't there a downside to the tzibur approach? What's going on? Eila dina v'yizbaracha olamiyim. So the Kusri says, this is how Kaddish Baruch Hu works in the Olami, in the global sense. The Etzlo Yizbarach, Hagmul Echid Mahim Ba'al Haba. It doesn't mean that anyone's gaining shafted. But Baruch Hu is looking at the big picture, at the macro picture, and at the micro individual picture simultaneously. Because Baruch Hu is managing both frames of reference. So how does that work? Either he's going to give the group what they globally deserve based on the overall sidkus or richness of the group, of the region, of the industry. And if individual people deserve more than the group does, maybe they'll, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of them and all of them. Perhaps, that's one solution. Etzel Yisbarach, by Baruch Shalom, HaGemul HaYichid Mehem, those people, those individuals who deserve more than their group did, all of them, they may not see payers here, but in the long run, they will be well taken care of. Everything's going to even out. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will individualize Sar Olam. And then he said, even here, Roshim Olam HaZeh Yitem Lehem Tzemura Tovah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can personalize and individualize the care of each person. They may get to, you're right, they're part of an industry, they're part of a region that didn't deserve to get bracha. So that industry, that region, they have an economic downturn. They're not going to have good rain. Regulation is going to be difficult. Taxation will be difficult. The tourism is not going to work out in a way that's favorable, it's advantageous for that group. But the individual tzaddikim who deserve more, God will give them tzemura tova, something else, other good in place of that. V'yeitiv lehem b'ktzas tova, yu b'nachrim mishreinayem. In terms of what they share with their neighbors, or what they share with their industry, that won't do so well. But they may get something personalized. Maybe it won't be economic at all, maybe in terms of their family life, in terms of health. They can have unusual success. Maybe it will be economic. But in terms of the overall industry, it won't do well. But something specific to them, because probably we'll see to it that the individual tzaddikim can get what they get. He says, you have to realize that it's rare, very rare tzaddikim who step out of this approach, who aren't entirely approached by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you talk our tzaddik, you deserve more than your neighbors do. Neighbors geographically, or I'm suggesting in modern times, neighbors in your industry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you, will make sure everything works out for you, but you will be impacted by the overall, what's happening to the group as a whole, with very few exceptions. That's a Gemara, I believe a Gemara Basra. It's only mamish, the unusual tzaddikim who will get mamish, you know, who will not be impacted by the kolola of the rain is falling in their backyard, even though no one else is getting rain. That's only for very rare tzaddikim. And he says, imagine the following. And he said before, to think about the ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us globally, thinking about rain. Now he says, imagine the person who davens for himself. Again, now we really have three ideas on the table. Number one, now the super scoring, you daven for yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu joins with other people. But that when you daven for yourself, you think about the, you daven with others, you think about the needs of others. And when you daven with others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll gain from the group bracha. So he says, Mashal, and now he quotes Plato. The new lady obviously was well read in secular philosophy as well. He makes a reference here to the Republic. Mashal misha hispalel tzar atzma. A person who davens for himself. A person who is not davening for others. Who does not care. That person is going to daven in a narcissistic fashion. Mashal misha hishtadel chazek is based on levado. Ma'aratzel hikanis im anshe medina behi azra lachizuk ha'masa. Again, the specifics of his mashal are ancient. You have a city and they need to build a wall. Okay. Whether countries need to build walls or not, certainly cities have stopped building walls many hundreds of years ago. But cities and countries certainly have joint needs for defense. So if a guy's going to say, I'm not paying taxes, what do I have to pay taxes for? Let someone else fix the roads. Let someone else fund the fire department. Let someone else fund the police force. Let someone else fund the army. Let someone else fund the missile defense system. It doesn't have to be me. I don't have to fund Homeland Security. I'm just going to take care of my own dollars. I'm just going to take care of what I need. And let someone else take care of what we need. He has no interest in joining with the rest of his city or the rest of his state in terms of taking care of the walls, literally or figuratively, who motzi harbi va'omin al-sakana. Particularly, now, either he's being unfair, and he's living within the walls, and but he refuses to pay for them. Or he says, what do I need to, these expensive walls that protect the city? I'll just go live outside the walls of the city. I'll do my own thing. But think about it. It's incredibly expensive. You're going to carry all of your own security expenses? I think a lot of kids go through this phase where they imagine, like, you know, if I could only, I think that some adults go through this phase also. Like, you know, find some Pacific island where no one lives and isn't staked by any country. I'll just make my own country. You know, find my own tropical island. It'll be just me. So you won't have to pay taxes. You won't have to pay taxes. You're also not going to have anyone else helping to fund your, you're on your own. Any defense expenditures, any security expenditures are totally your own. He says, "Humotzi arbe." Your expenses will be enormous if you're not a part of the group. Vomel asakana. You're going to be very exposed to risk. But you're going to be a part of the tibur's expenses. Motzi ma'at ve'omid bebatcha. So you spend a little bit, but you're pooling your resources. Everyone else lives in the city. You spend a little bit, and you gain some of the security that we're all paying for together. This person gives something, that person gives something else, and you cover for each other. He says, we work together, so then and we have a reasonable, equitable system of each paying taxes in a democratic, equitable government. So we each pay in something, but we gain much more than we spend. Because if you have thousands, tens of thousands, millions of people funding a system, for me to pay for that type of security would be crazy. But we spread among other people, so you get much more. But Cain Corey, what's that next word? You know who that person is? Aleph Pei, Lamed Tes, Vav Nun. The fifth to last line here, you should know him if you like reading philosophy in Hebrew, because Aflatun is otherwise known as Plato. Exactly. It says, Plato called Mashiotzi B'tzad HaTorah Chelak HaKol. Now, I can't say that I have such great Bikias in Plato. And I couldn't have told you that you'll find this on page 369 and 374 and 464, but Slonimsky was kind enough in his English translation of Kuzri from the Arabic to tell you where to look. In footnote 7a, the portion of the whole. So that Plato develops this idea. Plato lived, just to give you a little bit of a sense, Plato lives around the beginning of the Bayit Sheni period. Plato lives roughly a contemporary of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol. So Plato formulated this as a Chelak HaKol. If a Yachid is not going to have a Tzibur sense, you think you're going to, you think I'll save money. This apparent tax evasion is an ancient desire. Yossi ren o liatzmo. A guy figures, why do I have to pay for what we're all paying for together? I'll pay for my own house. I'll pay to improve my own house. I'm not going to pay to improve our country. Someone else will pay for that. Uchotei ha'kol v'chotei l'nafshi yoseh. You're sinning against the group, the kol, the whole, by not taking a part of the whole, and you're sinning against yourself more. How am I hurting myself? Now he gives a third mashal. And one mashal of the rain, the second mashal of the house and the country, and a third mashal, yachid b'chal ha-tzibur ke'evra echid b'chal ha-gof. This is a mashal that the Yerushalmi has. To think about yourself as one limb. The Yerushalmi famously says, and for those who don't are not Bikim in Yerushalmi, but Bikim in Shimon Shkap. Shimon Shkap in the Hakdamah to Shara Yosha, where he famously talks about the importance of caring for others and altruism. So he quotes the following Yerushalmi. Says, Yerushalmi says, it's a very difficult mitzvah. Let's take a comment. How are you supposed to do that? Guy insulted me. Guy was nasty. The classic case of Chazal, right? I needed a shovel yesterday. I know you have a shovel. And I asked you to shovel. Oh, I'm sorry. And then the next day you come, you want to borrow something, you want to borrow my bike. That's not Chazal. Yeah. So, all of a sudden I'm supposed to give you it's a normal reaction to say, get out of my face. That's such a natural reaction. I know, it's not like you couldn't, you didn't have what to offer me. You had what to offer me, and you chose to be nasty. You chose to let me down. And now, bad enough, and now you have the chutzpah to pour salt in the wounds and ask me for a favor as though nothing happened. It's a very normal, natural human response to insult that, to respond with sarcasm. Certainly not to be helpful. But Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not midas chassid. It's not that this is like, you know, to be a great chassid. Gosh, me'ikar hadin. If I don't turn around and say, I'll be glad to give you the bike for the day, I'm violating a law of daraisa. Shalom says, the law of daraisa? How did Kosh Baruch Hu expect this from us? This is really hard stuff. Not to take makabah. Not to be noter. I'm going to be a big tzaddik. I'm not going to give them a bite. And I'll say, yeah, you know, I'm not you. But I actually care about people, okay? Take it. So I wouldn't buy the Losiko. I didn't buy the Kama. I did give them the bike. We know Rashi quotes from Chazal. Right? Rashi and Kedoshim quotes from the Sifra. I buy the Lav Daraisa of Netira. I'm holding on to that grudge. Shalmi says, this sounds like among the hardest businesses in the Torah. How are you not going to do that? It's such a normal, natural reaction. The guy was nasty to me, and now he turns around and wants something from me. No, isn't that really hard? So to say, this is an ideal you should strive for, you want to be a Navi, you want to be Baruch HaKadosh, you shouldn't do the covenant here. Good. Hechar Madregas. But to say, remember, this is like basic Judaism. Like, you can't eat bacon, and you can't wear shatnas, and you can't do the covenant. A lot of deraisa. It's so hard. So what's the solution? But somehow there's a way to pull this off. So Yerushalmi says, the mashal, the kuzri here, quotes from the Yerushalmi several centuries later. Yerushalmi says, you were in the workshop, and you were, spring is here, and you're working on a bird feeder. You work on a birdhouse. A little bit late to put out a birdhouse. Okay. So let's get it out before the birds really, migration is only beginning. So you're working on a birdhouse, you think it'll be nice in the backyard, the kids will enjoy seeing the birds. Yet you're still up, you're working with some plywood, you're working with some pine wood, and you accidentally cut yourself. You're working this, so you're righty, you're working this with your right hand, you're holding the wood, you braced it with your left hand, and you cut your finger. And you're bleeding, and it really hurts. What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Call a lifeguard.
Call a lifeguard, good. Especially in a lifeguard room. I call an EMT. You may get stitches. You're probably going to howl in pain. You're hopefully going to take care of it, make sure it doesn't get infected. And hopefully there's no serious damage to your finger. You're going to be really upset. And lots of people have a natural, silly, but natural response is to always try to blame someone else. We do as human beings, unless we train ourselves otherwise. You're probably, though, not going to, a natural human response would be to blame the next guy. Oh, you should have told me. Oh, you should have. And you're probably not, you're right. Your left hand is probably not going to have a grudge against your right hand. Even though, logically, you know, as much as you can pin the blame on the other guy, like, upon whom can you pin the blame more than your right hand? So shouldn't your left hand be upset at your right hand? Wouldn't make a lot of sense. As you look at me and say, if your left hand has a grudge against your right hand, and obviously there's a need for serious psychotherapeutic intervention, because a healthy, well-adapted person has a healthy sense of identity, which certainly includes all of your limbs are part of you. My right hand, my left hand are all part of me. They're not separate entities. So my left hand, my right hand, to bear a grudge against each other, that's ridiculous. So Yerushalmi says, that makes sense to you. Now figure out how you can begin to grow into understanding that you and I and him and her are all part of one macro group. To the extent that you begin to see, that's the theme that Reb Shimon Shkap develops in his Hakdamah to Shaarei Yosher, when he talks about altruism. He says, it's normal for people to care about themselves. Self-preservation, it's a good thing, healthy thing. You didn't have a healthy sense of self-preservation, you'd be in big trouble. But you don't want to take you over and suffocate the ability to care for others. He says, but how do you manage that? So Shimon Shkap says, one way to do it, what Yerushalmi is suggesting, is to expand the anochi, to expand the I. yeah, to leverage your sense of caring for self, but to expand that into caring for others also. To see that it's not just about me. It's about me and my family. Me and my friends. Me and my community. Me and Kalal Yisrael. So it says, it's exactly where Rehu HaLevi does not, he doesn't quote Maror HaMakomos, except for Plato. So he doesn't quote Yerushalmi, but presumably that's what he was thinking about. He says, imagine you go for Shabbos. Some people don't like Shabbos. And back in the, if you have a lot of people here don't like Shabbos? Be honest. How many people here don't like giving blood, which is more intentional than Shabbos?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. When you guys don't like giving blood, remember how they take blood? With a single needle. Back in the old days, when they took blood, it usually wasn't to bank it for someone else, it's because they thought that bloodletting would somehow make you healthier. You know they took blood? Either a snake or they would attach leeches. Either put a glass, at some point they put a glass on to draw out a lot, and then majorly attach leeches to your skin. Leeches would suck blood out of your body. This is like a heavy duty, very, very, very invasive. Right? As much as you don't like the needle in your arm, imagine 100 needles in your arm. Right? This is very intense. So your arm is going to say, I refuse. Not in my backyard. You want to take blood, go to the other arm. If you want to take blood, go to the left, not here. My left arm refuses to give blood. And this is the very bottom of page 190. You have to develop the sense, again, what Moshe Mishkaf develops at greater length several centuries after the Kuzri, that my place within the Kehila is to an extent like one limb of the body. We need bloodletting. Or now they would say, we need to bank blood. Or we need to take a sampling for a test. So the arm says, not me, go somewhere else. So what's going to happen? The whole body is going to lose out, and guess what else? That arm is also going to lose out. Here's a fascinating line in the Kuzri. Here he says, it makes sense for an individual to have to carry, to take some suffering for the tzibur. Everyone's going to have to work. Everyone's going to have to pay a price in order to accomplish Tzibur goals. He even says, it makes sense, this sounds like a way of talking about the halachic and ethics and morality of war, it will sometimes be appropriate for a yachid to give up his life for the Tzibur. A soldier in Tzal, some make, right, all gave some, and some gave all, as the American line goes. To just focus on my own personal needs, missing the boat. There has to be the chelak akal. I have to be invested in doing my part for the tzibur. And then he goes on to say, but this isn't natural. And so we close for today with this. He says, this isn't a natural thing. It's incredibly important for us, even for my individual well-being, and certainly for the well-being of the tzibur, that people need to think in community. I need to be invested in taking care of people beside myself. But that's not the way I'm born. It's not natural. It's something I have to develop. So here he says, the final piece for today, that there are mitzvahs that are mussar exercises, mitzvahs that are opportunities to practice developing this communal sense, to care about other people. And he says, Zohai Adabar, the third line, page 192, this is not something you should see gay hakasha. I might not come at it naturally or even logically. I've convinced myself that I'm just going to take care of myself. I'm going to ignore the tzibur. So how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to see to it that we develop as people, as Jews, into people who are meant for others, people who care about the tzibur, aren't just self-centered and selfish? Siva Bo'abori, the fourth line, 192, the masros, the hamatanos, the hakarbanos, the zulazet. There are mitzvahs that involve giving to other people. You're a farmer. There's essentially what we would call in modern parlance taxes. If you're a farmer, more than 20% is coming off the top before you get to touch it. To the Kohen, to the Levi, to this one, to the Ani, to this one, to that one, going to Yerushalayim, right away. Maestros, Tumas and Maestros are essentially a taxation regime. You can bring carbonas. Animals are could be worth thousands, not tens of thousands of dollars. I'm a farmer. These are my assets. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says a couple times a year, you're going to come to Beis HaMikdash, and you're going to say, you're going to bring some of your karbonos and offer them Beis HaMikdash. They're going to go on the Mizbeach, or they're going to be a split up between Mizbeach and Kohanim and you, right? You're donating, you're giving to others. That's our opportunity to practice this chelak hakol idea, again using the Platonic term, taking your part in the tzibur's need. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to put that into practice in different parts of our lives. Exactly. It involves to put it back, number one, in terms of our financial lives. You're earning money, you're a farmer, whatever you do, you're going to be giving away part of what you earn to take care of others. And then they have ma'asin, in terms of activities, not in terms of dollars and cents, but in terms of time spent. This is a fascinating idea that I think requires more thinking. It's the Shabbos. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shemitah, Yovel, are ma'asin they do for others. That's like a whole shtick of Torah. A chapter, or at least a paragraph in one line. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shemitah, Yovel. Shemitah, Yovel, understand I let my field open and everyone can take it. Shabbos, Yom Tov. I understand there's a tremendous value in Shabbos, Yom Tov. But he's saying Shabbos is a whole other aspect of Shabbos, Yom Tov, that it's an opportunity to give of myself for others. How do I give it of myself for others on Shabbos, Yom Tov? Could be that it's that in other words, it gets us thinking about the fact that when I'm engaged in Menucha Shabbos and Menucha Yom Tov, that's not only that I'm helping myself, and further my own connection to Rosh Shalom, if I'm part of a kehila that's keeping Shabbos, so each person's participation in Menucha Shabbos creates something that everyone enjoys. As I'm giving to the ruchnias of others. Powerful idea that we usually don't think about. Again, yet another one of these incredible chidushim of the Kuzri that gets stuck into a line. And then he says, it's now so I practice the chelak hakol idea in terms of my finances, in terms of my time and action, Shabbos Yom Tov, Shemitah Yovel, and in terms of speech, I spend some of my speech on others, tfilos, brachos, tishbachos, and that comes back to what we were talking about before. Then when I daven, I'm mishabeach Kadosh Baruch Hu with speech I'm doing for others, maybe even thanking other people, so far that. And see, when I daven, again, come back to where we started, when I daven, I don't just daven for myself, I practice davening for other people. And I daven for myself in the context of other people. And finally, he says, even midos, ha'ava, ha'yira, ha'simcha. Ava, yira, and simcha. Those three midos are the three that he highlights as being the ones where by developing those midos, I'm giving to others. Again, we would not have got another counterintuitive line. I would have thought midos for others is, develop your generosity. But he said, like with the Shabbos idea, presumably he's saying, the more I'm going to be karev to Ribono Shalom, the more it's going to impact other people. I'm going to work on my... Developing my relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu is powerful stuff for everyone around me. And that's a thought that we should have also. We're going to come back with some tomorrow. He's going to take us through Shemona Esrei, and then we're going to wrap up this unit we started at the beginning of the semester. Kuzri and Tefila, we're going to believe that over the course of the next 2 days, looking at some more of the Shemona Esrei, and then a final mashal that he has, a very beautiful mashal. By the relationship between a Jew and a tzibur, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it could be a very special way to close up this limud, and we'll be Mirtz Hashem very special on Wednesday also, the final idea of which to approach the Yom Tov Pesach. We're nearing the end of this limud in Sefer Kuzri, and we hope Mirtz Hashem after Pesach we're going to pick up with a new limud for the close of the year. But this idea which we close, the sense of tzibur, and the sense not only giving to tzibur in terms of money and care and physical things, but if I grow in ruchnias, I am contributing to everyone else's ruchnias. That is something that we all ought to be thinking about as we approach the crescendo of our year together, to realize that each person's energy and enthusiasm in investing, recognizing, shall we say, that as as other responsibilities begin to peel away as senior year rolls on, so that open gives us the opportunity to fill it as different people are on different schedules. Some people's schedules aren't really going to free up until mid-May. But some people's schedules are definitely already starting to free up. And if we seize the opportunity to be ambitious about the time that gets freed up, so that's not just for you. That's exactly what he says. My ambitions, happy ambitions in Ruchnius, a year of Simcha, are incredible donations to the people around you. To the extent that each person is chazek, if you chazek the
tzibur also. That's a very important part of our avoda as a group.